And we're joined on the scoop today by Robert Zaglinski, who covers the Chicago Bears for the Rock River Times. Robert, thanks for joining me today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Seth.
Well, just taking a look at where the Chicago Bears are at heading into the offseason. The Bears had kind of a new era here that they're starting after finishing 5-11. John Fox let go. Some intriguing pieces on both sides of the ball for this Bears team. But first question for you, Robert, with John Fox being shown the door, what were some of your memories of the John Fox era with the Bears?
I remember the Bears being overly conservative, particularly offensively. I don't remember many signature wins. I remember many more signature defeats. I remember a team that was competitive in most games, but in a way that was more of a trademark or by design to give the illusion that this team was on the ascendance, that was making progress, when in reality the good teams are the ones that can finish close games, that can finish competitive games, merely than just saying that they were right there. So the entire John Fox era just felt like a conservative, almost win 3 years that are thankfully gone, in particular in relation to their new hire, Matt Nagy, which I'm sure we're about to get to. Was aggressive, who won't settle for losing by three or keeping it within one deficit, who will attack other teams and put them on their heels, essentially. The polar opposite of the Fox era. He came in 10 years ago, this approach, well, for Fox, probably would have been good enough to be successful in the NFL. But that was when passing offenses were less diverse. That was when most offensive coordinators and game plans were much more simple. And he just didn't adapt in his time here. He just didn't adapt, and that's why the Bears have a new head coach.
Yeah, you talked about the new head coach for the Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs this past season. And you look at the numbers that the Chiefs put up. Alex Smith, who has been throughout his career known as just a game manager, and I'm doing air quotes in the studio because I'm not really a fan of that term, but more of a Alex Smith, more of a low risk type quarterback. But we really saw him excel with deep passes this year, and all the weapons around him excelled as well. So I got to imagine, Robert, you're pretty excited about the possibility of Matt Nagy bringing some of that to the Bears offense with Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking at it at a glance, Mitch Trubisky has more arm talent than Smith, is more of a natural athlete. And that's not necessarily a knock on Smith, because he doesn't get enough credit for being a great athlete in his own right. But Trubisky, in that way, doesn't get enough credit for his own athletic ability. He was one of the more accurate deep passers this year, the Trubisky, that is. And that's on a limited sample size. But you apply with Smith, who was the NFL's best deep passer in terms of passer rating, in terms of completion percentage, in terms of actual 20-yard-plus plays. You put that in line with a bright young rookie from the get-go. I mean, the Bears, I think off the top of my head, I don't have this in front of me, were the worst deep passing offense. You put Matt Nagy with that, that's an exciting prospect. That's it's no longer going to be a lot of the criticisms here in Chicago, where the Bears often went run pass, or when they were actually attempted to go downfield, it was too predictable. That's not going to happen. They're going to get plays with big chunks. They're going to put their players in space, their talented players in space, and allow Trubisky to flourish. Allow Trubisky to go bombs away.
Looking at just the rest of the NFC North, obviously a lot of emphasis put on the defense. We've seen what the Vikings have done this year, Green Bay in shuffling their coaching staff. They bring in Mike Pettine, who has certainly been known as a great defensive coordinator throughout his tenure in the league. You've got Vic Fangio with the Bears, who was under John Fox. But it sounds like the Bears would like to bring him back because the Bears' defense did some really good things throughout the season, despite what the offense wasn't able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing with Fangio is he's probably – he doesn't get enough credit. The Bears didn't operate it for almost half, especially for his work this year. The Bears didn't operate with an edge rusher for that largely the last half of the year without Leonard Floyd. So it was essentially Akeem Hicks as the lone pass rusher you could really count on. And you had guys like Danny Trevathan and Nick Kwiatkowski moving in and out of the lineup the whole year. This is a defense that highly respects Fangio, that appreciates how he's had them grow over the past 3 years. Probably the one consistent part of John Fox's staff you could be really proud of that makes him good enough to carry over to Matt Nagy's new era. The thing with Fangio is that continuity. Now, I've always been a proponent that they could technically be fine without him. I'm hearing right now that contract negotiations are kind of in a standstill, but that he's most likely to come back. But provided they would replace him if he did walk, with the solid coordinator. There are rumors linking to him, the Bears and James Betcher, who's a very aggressive guy with the Cardinals, who's one of the more brighter, young defensive minds in the NFL. If the Bears replaced Fangio with that, there'd be no issue. The Bears might even be on the ascendancy. But considering the respect that guys have for Fangio, you kind of noted it, top 10 in the performance-wise. He's that leader. He demands respect. He's kind of a brilliant. He's just a brilliant coordinator all around. This is a win-win situation. You can't really lose.
Looking at how the Bears will try to supplant their roster, the NFL draft coming up in April, and obviously offense will be an area to improve. I'm not sure how much time you've had yet to look into the draft. We've still got the NFL playoffs going on. So I really haven't dug into it yet, but I would imagine offense is going to be a pretty big focal point throughout the draft for the Bears.
A lot of people have been talking about receiver, and to me, yeah, the Bears obviously need to upgrade. You need to upgrade that position. You need to give a lot of weapons for Trubisky to be able to succeed. I mean, the Bears had probably the worst receiving corps in the league in 2017, but that's not exactly something I would do at number 8. There isn't that kind of Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson type prospect. And even taking those guys is a high risk in itself. Receiver is one of the positions that actually gets more valuable when you step out of the first round. Taking a guy in the top 10 isn't exactly going to change your franchise. You take guys like offensive tackles. You take guys like quarterbacks. You take guys like pass rushers, which – arguably, the Bears, while they have their quarterback, they could still use a tackle, perhaps replace Bobby Massey on the right side. They could use a pass rusher. They don't really have any other young guys besides Leonard Floyd, and Leonard Floyd hasn't even finished a season yet, 2 years in, no matter how bright his future is and how talented he is. So with that in mind, I'd avoid – there's been a lot of talk of, like, Calvin Ridley from Alabama. He's not that kind of guy. I wouldn't take him at number 8. I'd look at Connor Brown out of Oklahoma. I'd look at Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State, a pass rusher. Should he come out, I'd look at Arden Key, maybe in the second round as a pass rusher. There's a lot of options. There's even the possibility of someone like Minkah Fitzpatrick, a cornerback from Alabama. Should Kyle Fuller walk? Should Prince Mukamara walk? I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick is talked about in the same kind of way as Jalen Ramsey, who's a generational cornerback with the Jaguars. The Bears are going to address their needs offensively, but there are more avenues to do what everybody believes is their primary need in receiver than with a premium pick like a top 10 selection.
Do you see the Bears making any sort of big splashes in free agency? We've seen that sometimes that's a good way to go, but you think about the New York Giants, and it seems like a lot of their big free agent signings haven't necessarily panned out. Do you see them making any sort of big splashes?
Absolutely. I mean, the hiring Matt Nagy in itself is an aggressive move, and the drafting well is only one part of being a successful NFL contender. Kevin Clark from The Ringer actually wrote an article about this a few days ago. Six of the remaining eight teams in the postseason this year were in the top 10 of spending free agency last year. So it's about developing your core and your foundation and then supplementing that with quality free agent moves, and not necessarily in the mold of the way the Giants have. The Giants sunk themselves with guys that were aging or overpaid for guys that weren't premium assets. You want to smartly pay, which is what I think Ryan Pace and company are going to want to do. You look at targets like Paul Richardson, a receiver from Seattle, got a lot of upside. John Brown, known to take the top off of the defense, receiver from Arizona. I've heard Jarvis Landry a lot. I don't think he's actually good. I think he's going to be overpaid for more than what he's worth. I would prefer the Bears avoid Landry. I don't think he's actually a fit in this fast-paced offense that Nagy's going to implement. And you do that, you're putting yourself on a fast track to success, getting actual playmakers at a bargain. I mean, he's done it before with Akeem Hicks. He's done it before with Danny Trevathan, who are arguably both underpaid. So he'll have to do it one more time, and I see the Bears being big players in March.
Outstanding. Robert, thanks for taking some time to join us and just give us kind of a sense of where the Bears are at heading into this new era with Matt Nagy as head coach. For the listeners, if they're curious to read a little bit more, where can they find your work covering the Bears?
You can find me writing or covering the Bears at the Rock River Times. That's rockrivertimes.com. You can find me on SB Nation and Windy City Gridiron. I cover the NFL and the Bears for the site proper, and then the Bears for Windy City Gridiron. And I'm also an occasional contributor to The Athletic Chicago. Follow me on Twitter at Robert Zuglinski. Has all that good stuff.
Outstanding, Robert. Thanks so much for joining us here today. We'll see if the Bears can make a big turnaround, and we'll see if maybe the NFC North has a four-team race for a playoff spot next season.
Thanks for having me on, Seth. No doubt.